If you could just give a thumbnail sketch of the Joe Arity story.
In 1936, there was a sensational axe rape murder in Pueblo of a girl named Dorothy Drain. Her sister was also assaulted in the incident. And a gentleman named Joe Arity was arrested for vagrancy in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and after a couple days' interrogation, said that he was at the crime scene, even though they had the perpetrator, Frank Aguilar, in custody in Pueblo and the murder weapon. And through my relationship with Bob Persky, I became familiar with the story and also with the screenwriter Dan Leonetti in Trinidad, Colorado. And we've just kind of made it our mission and our labor of love to get this guy some recognition. Maybe 5 or 6 years ago, Bob and I were at the prison graveyard in Canyon City where we located Joe's grave, a couple plots over from Frank Aguilar, the real perpetrator. And Bob asked me to try to get a headstone for this young man. And so I took it on myself to figure out how to do it, got the money donated, and we were lucky enough to get a beautiful headstone put in the Greenwood Cemetery in Canyon City.
Talk a little bit about the general background of how Joe was treated, particularly in terms of what was described then as feeble-mindedness. And if you could talk a little bit about the details of how Joe got dragged into this.
After first grade, he was no longer able to be in the Pueblo school system, so he kind of ran the streets until he ended up in the Grand Junction Institution. He had a full-scale 46 IQ, which is unfortunate because a person of Joe's functioning level today would be a contributing member of society. He'd be able to access transportation, maybe drive, have a car, have a wife, have a family, be gainfully employed. Feeble-mindedness is just a particular classification of developmental disability, what we call developmental disability today. Generally speaking, people with IQs under 70 are considered to have developmental disability. Feeble-mindedness eventually became mental retardation, which now we like to refer to as a intellectual or developmental disability. Joe had a 46 IQ. Which is questionable, given the things he was able to do. He may have tested out a little higher than that today. Developmentally disabled people still remain the most marginalized people in our society, and they were barely considered human beings until around 1950, when people started talking about the rights of the developmentally disabled. And nothing really happened as far as the law until around 1972. And then the early 90s when the ADA came about. So people were, in the 1930s, were not even considering people with developmental disabilities as really being human beings.
Walk us through a little bit of the trial. Joe confessed. He was in Wyoming at the time that he was apprehended, I believe.
Yeah, he was arrested for vagrancy in Wyoming. But had been seen supposedly in Pueblo during the weeks before and after the murder of Dorothy Drain. They kind of implied, were you there with Frank? And he said that he was. Aguilar implicated Joe until, I think, the day he was executed, when he took it all back. You know, for the same reasons that the rest of society doesn't value people with developmental disabilities, and especially at that time.
And he was from Pueblo.
He was from Pueblo. I think he confessed to being at the crime scene as much as anything after a couple of days of interrogation. The sheriff, Carroll, was kind of a Western folk hero. He had brought the Ma Barker gang in, and I think he was maybe after the reward money. I don't think he valued Joe enough to think that his manipulation of him was really particularly anything wrong.
So Joe confessed to being there and was tried and was found guilty and sentenced to death. But that wasn't the end of it. There were many legal interventions.
There were 9 stays of execution. There was nothing really legally in the law pertaining to developmental disability or any of those gradations, idiot, imbecile, feeble-mindedness, all those classifications. There was only were you sane or were you not sane? And that was the only basis that they could really use as far as the trial was concerned. He did get 9 stays of execution. corrupt warden named Roy Best, who was an ex-bull rider, who used to strap guys to a pommel horse called the Old Gray Mare and flog them, eventually got to know Joe and fell in love with the guy and brought him home for Christmas to play with his nephews and purchased him a toy train and then had to turn around and execute him.
Yeah, that's one of the details of the story that's particularly poignant is the fact that he liked to play with toys. And he
was as childlike as to order ice cream for his last three meals. There's a famous photograph of him playing with his toy train the night before he was executed. He had to be administered the Lord's Prayer two words at a time for him to be able to repeat it back to the priest right prior to his execution.
Governor Bill Ritter did finally pardon Joe in 2011. What prompted that? And it's my understanding that it is the only posthumous pardon of someone who's been executed by the state that's ever been issued in all of the United States.
That's correct.
How did that come about?
Well, we were lucky enough to be able to get the headstone put in the Greenwood Cemetery, and so we had a gathering of some of the friends of Joe Reedy to celebrate it and to say a few words. And the screenwriter, Dan Leonetti from Trinidad, had an attorney friend, David Martinez, who was there for the event. And I guess he was moved so much by it that he spent the next 3 years working on the posthumous pardon for Joe.
When the pardon was issued, what effect did that have on the broader debate about the death penalty, especially where developmentally disabled people are concerned?
Well, I think it's been an ongoing argument, especially since the cutoff of the 70 IQ became the rule of law in most states after the Supreme Court ruling. But it's a very compelling story that not many people know about that has to have happened time and again in all the other states in the union. There are still people on death row, some for crimes they didn't commit, that have developmental disability. We were lucky enough to have the Supreme Court ruling last week that said you can't be so stringent with the 70 cutoff. You know, there should be a 5-point deviation going either way, and states were executing people that had 71 or 72 IQs. So they will no longer be able to do that. I think as much as anything, we've just created a further dialogue about this subject that goes further than just developmental disability. I want to say 40% of the incarcerated population in this country has a diagnosis of mental illness or developmental disability. Jail has become a placement for people with mental illness because the beds are no longer available because of deinstitutionalization, which is a great idea, that there was no real safety net for these folks.
Craig, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.